everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am your host, Kate Romero, and I'd like to thank BBS Radio, Don Newsom, for giving us this wonderful platform. And we have two very, very dynamic guests for your listening pleasure this evening. That's Gregory Morgan and his beautiful wife, Dr. Azita Sayan. I hope I'm saying her last name correctly. Anyway, if you want to pull up their website, just go to www.embracegrowth.com. That's EmbraceGrowth.com. And Dr. Sayan and Gregory are authors of The 12 Stages of Romantic Relationship, Legacy of Love, Girl Talk and Unfinished Business, Reveal the Secrets of Successful Relationships through seminars, workshops, relationship coaching, and marriage and family therapy. And they also have an international TV show. Lots of books and CDs and DVDs that bring transformation to millions. I want to thank everybody for listening this evening, and I'd like to just read a little bit from each one of their bios to give you an idea about where they come from and where they're going. I will start, ladies first, with Azita, who is Gregory's beautiful wife. And if you got my email today or you're able to check the Spiritual Hollywood site for programming information, you'll see their picture there. Azita's bio is she lives her life knowing that she's blessed with the profound privilege to be of service and make a difference. She believes that we are all perfect and that we are here to play as if we are not, so that we can learn. She sees her part as showing people the obstacles to the experience of their own magnificence and power. The greatest influences in her life, other than her family, have been Cyrus the Great, Socrates, Rumi, Gandhi, Gugush, Dr. Neil Lamper, Landmark Education, and her husband, Gregory. Her virtues and values and virtues, I guess that's my Freudian slip showing, are integrity, responsibility, commitment, making a difference, and living a legacy of love. This is who she is, and this is what you can count on in Azita. She also is a PhD doctorate of psychology, specializing in chemical dependency and addiction, licensed marriage, family, and child counselor in private practice for 21 years. She barely looks 21. I don't know how that's possible, but I'm sure it is. And she's a television personality. And they have the television show live on Wednesdays, 3:30 to 5 p.m. Pacific time, Friday, 6:30 to 8 a.m., originating from studios at, I think it's PARS TV Network, which we'll find out more about. She's a best-selling author and just a really incredible lady. I met them both not too long ago. And I'll tell you a little bit about Gregory Morgan, a TV host, relationship coach, and a transformational trainer. He is the author of The 12 Stages of Romantic Relationship and Legacy of Love. He is a senior partner and chief operations officer of Embrace Growth, a global organization dedicated to the creation of relationships that transform life and leave a legacy of love for future generations. Gregory is the author of some of the innovative programs and educational materials offered by Embrace Growth, which include relationship coaching, seminars, workshops, and audio-video programs. As an internationally recognized relationship expert, he hosts the popular TV talk show Love Talk on the Global Satellite Network. He's had 30 years' experience in the study and practice of Taoist meditation and transformational technologies. He's a certified practitioner of the energetic clearing process and holds two black belts in Aikido and Lido, L-A-I-D-O, excuse my...
Liaido.
He gained recognition at an early age as a world-class dancer, touring the world and performing as many as 200 shows per year, beginning teaching at 27 when he founded Espace Futura, a school for dance, theater, and martial arts in Paris, France. A dynamic speaker and radical thinker, Gregory's bold and insightful approach speaks to the heart. He eloquently and humorously interweaves Taoist philosophy, evolutionary and Jungian psychology, quantum physics, science of mind, Taoist wisdom, and plain old down-home common sense, fluent in French, English, and is currently learning Farsi, private practice in Los Angeles, where he is available for private or couple sessions. Without further ado, I'd like to bring on Gregory Morgan and his wonderful wife, Azita. Hello, you two.
Hi.
How are you?
All your wonderful listeners.
I'm sure that they're going to enjoy this one for sure. I was sent out an email to my list, which have a few of Gregory's quotes on there, which I found to be very, very profound. And I would love it if we could talk a little bit about that also. But I'd like to just start out with asking you both what you're present to at this very moment.
Do you want to go, Zita?
Sure. What I'm present to, I was just listening to you read our bio, mm-hmm. and I was thinking, oh, my God. You know, I was really, for me, it was like, wow, I'm, again, so privileged to be with people and to share all of the rich experiences that I've had, not just as a woman, a Middle Eastern American woman, married to an American man, and just being a human being and sharing all of those experiences as well. So I think it's just a very, very special time in human history and in my own relationship and in my own age in life. So that's what I'm present to, just the awe of what we get to be right now.
Wonderful. Very well said. And how about you, Greg?
Yeah, it's very much like that for me, too. I'm present to the privilege it is to be able to participate in people's lives and people's private lives. People come to us either on our television shows or in our office or through their emails, and they share the most secret and profound things with us, things that often bring us to tears when we discuss them between ourselves, like, did you read this, or did you hear that, or I had a client today that told me this. And it's such a privilege, you know. And I guess somewhere in my own mind, I'll always be like this kid from Oklahoma, you know. And so I'm just almost like I'm living a dream. I'm living somebody else's life. When I look at my life, I look at my wife and the places we go and the things we do, going to Dubai and to London and all these places to lead seminars and stuff. It's like, wow, who would ever imagine,
yeah.
you know, that I would have the privilege to do this. So it's like, and that you would even be interested to talk to me, you know.
Well, this is the mighty powerful law of attraction and action, I would say.
Yeah.
Definitely. And you know what I get as I've been researching the two of you after I met you? My quantum hypnotherapy partner, Alex, and I were at the Chris Howard seminar where you and I met. Four of us were doing a little bit of their procedures together, and it was such a delight to meet you both. Wow, what energy and what radiance you both have, and what love for each other and mutual respect that you have. It's so tangible. I just knew that I wanted to have you both on the radio show, and then when I found out you had a TV show, I was like, well, I guess that was a pretty good shooting text. Mm-hmm. I figured out that you two really did have something extraordinary going on, other than the obvious. And so what is my impression in the research that I've been doing on the two of you is that each one of you individually, before you ever met each other, we're living this result from the end result.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear to me that every single thing that led you to every single thing that brought you to this very moment was something that you each divined for yourselves. And I think it was more on a conscious level than you may realize.
Oh, it was totally conscious for me.
Some people do it by in unconscious ways. They're just natural attractors. But I get that the two of you were very, very intentional.
Yeah. My intention has been the exact life that I have. You know, mm-hmm. and Gregory's and our relationship is also very much an intentional relationship. I was really clear that my partner is somebody that I want to ongoingly grow with, transform with, work with, be involved in making a difference in the world with, and he's exactly all of that, you know, and more, and much more. But it is responsibly designing, creating, ongoingly, and that's not to say that there are no surprises. I mean, I'm always profoundly moved by what I get to learn that I never saw coming my way. So And it is life by design. You know, it's choosing to have this life and being responsible for creating it ongoingly
mm-hmm.
and intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really clear, Kate. Thanks for bringing that up, that this didn't just get thrown in our laps. And
no, I get that.
I agree, worked on that too.
Yes, it's I'm very honored to have met you both. And what I just heard you describe when you were talking about Gregory is something I'm looking at right now that I believe Gregory wrote it. It says, finding Mr. Right, when you will only open your heart to a man whose wisdom, confidence, and love leads you deeper than you have ever been on your own, then such a man will appear.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So eloquent, and so it rings of a universal truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard it put quite that way before.
Mm-hmm.
But that is exactly what you described, Azita. That was beautifully done. And let's see, a man's value to his woman and to the world is directly related to his ability to stay focused in the midst of distraction and interference. This quality makes him trustworthy and honorable. Women test this all the time. I believe this is because she really wants to open her heart to an honorable man. When a man denies his own truth to please a woman, it never works. His core intentions become divided. He loses track of his purpose, and his actions are no longer congruent. She feels his inner division and lack of purpose, and she cannot trust him. She won't respect him or open her heart to his love. This is beautiful stuff. Did you write this, Greg?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And how to lose a man. I love this. If a woman can harass her man into changing his path to become how she wants him to be, then she won't respect his wisdom. Having lost respect for him, she will use his love against him and wear away his ego until he is worthless. Keep your attention on the love in your heart. Your frustration is just more noise to him, but your love is a magnet attracting him closer to his own soul. That's amazing stuff. That's just, I mean, I like Shakespeare, but this is beyond that. I mean, not to overrate it. For me, it's just, wow. I mean, this is so profound, and it comes out of the love you have from each other, to each other, for each other. And that's clear.
Yes.
Wholeness. You will never be complete as in finished, but you can be whole in knowing what you stand for and what you will not stand for. Wholeness is a function of establishing and maintaining clear boundaries. Codependence is a function of compromised boundaries. When a man is ready to change, he will do it for love, and that is a rare and sacred stage in his life. Then it's not just change, it's transformation. This has to happen in his time, not yours. Why burden him with your anger? Your bad mood is just another burden to him. This is terrific. You guys must be the most incredible couples counselors. Really? I mean, really?
Wow. You know, it's so big. I write the stuff and I put it up and I think nobody even reads it or pays attention to it. And then to hear it coming back to me through you, level myself.
Yeah. Well, here's one. Having children is not about you. This one really caught my eye. Whatever you eventually do, please don't have children with a man until you are absolutely certain that you will stay with him for life. Do this for the future generations. That's beautiful. Having children is not about you. It's about the future generations. It's it's a very, very, I mean, to be able to respond and commit to that is a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had somebody call me on my TV show today, and he was not married, but he wanted to have children with his gay partner, and I have nothing controversial against that. It's like you could make a fine father, but are you doing it for yourself or for the future generations?
And what
is this about the child?
Yeah. Great question. I would love to know the answer if you got one. You don't have to say a name, but I'm curious. What did he say?
I think his answer was more, I said, I want you to think about this because is it really because you want to have a child or because you want to leave something for the future through this child? Because children need parents. I believe that a child needs a mother and a father, and that's how nature designed it, and I know very many gay parents who are wonderful, wonderful parents, and their children are extremely fortunate to have them.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So I don't want to, you know, say anything controversial about that, because I don't want people to be misguided about my beliefs. Or I believe that gay parents make wonderful parents. But if you don't have a child and you want to bring a child in the world, you got to ask whether you're gay or straight. Why am I doing this?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's very clear. Very clear.
Okay. You said something about you know, the profoundness of what Gregory has written, and you know, Gregory tends to be modest and somewhat humble about his own genius, but the truth of the matter is every one of those quotes is, I mean, he's a phenomenal writer. He's absolutely a phenomenal writer. He's an artist, he's a songwriter. And his lyrics are so moving that they just, like, you know, you just sit there and you're moved to tears every time. I am moved to tears every time. But aside from that, the reason that it's so moving is, for me, every single one of those quotes have been lived by him and by us. That's where they're coming from. They're coming from an actual experience that he as a man has moved through. And I think why our relationship has worked is, first of all, we came together maturely, having worked on, really, for me, embracing my womanhood and the worth of myself as a woman, and Gregory having worked on himself, having come to a place of honoring himself as a man and his own masculinity. And I say that because we live in a world where there is a lot of blurred boundaries in those areas, where the polarity of those two things have been somewhat lost and confused. And to such an extent that men and women, after the initial, you know, hot stuff of the hormones wears off, begin to struggle over some waning, passionate leftover of that feeling that they had with each other in vain, really, not having worked out the polarity of maleness and femaleness, so that they now have a working relationship based on some principles and values rather than just feelings. So that they can still have that attraction because they have their own personal boundaries as a man and a woman, or as a male and a female. Because in, you know, in heterosexual relationships, you could have a woman be masculine and, you know, a man be feminine, and also in homosexual relationships, the same thing. So,
so interdependent, and just being wholeness within each other, within yourself, creates a wholeness in your relationship.
Right.
Yes, and that's clear. And as I was reading these things, Azita, I noticed that this had to come out of your love for each other, because I've never read anything like it before. So it was very clear to me where it came from. It came from your truth. It came for your collective truth. It came through your experience. And I can see that this didn't happen overnight. This came from a lot of trial and error. It came through a lot of learning what doesn't work and embracing what does. And that doesn't happen overnight, because, you know, it's like, if how do you get a diamond? Well, you file it with away its rough edges, and it takes something rough to file it into a polished thing. And, you know, I'm sure you went through lots and lots of growing together and separately in relationship, because relationships are not, they're not the most easy things in the world, and they do require effort and consciousness and work in order to, and nurturing. Raising a child, you're raising each other, and I can see here that you two really do trust one another and honor one another and respect one another, and that's a beautiful thing and a great role model. So why don't you tell our listeners how they can see your TV show?
Gregory's much better at the technical.
I'm better at that. Okay. For the most part, you have to have the foreign language channels. So we have our TV shows on the Farsi International Satellites, and it's called PARS TV, P-A-R-S TV. And if your listeners don't have that foreign language channel, then they're not going to be able to watch it on their TV set. They'll need to watch it on the internet, which is always possible. You can go to PAMTV.us, PAMTV.us, and then click on the Pars TV icon. Another way to do it is simply to go to our website, and this is my, I made this so everybody could go to our website and find it very easily. Simply go to our website, and there is an icon on the front page that says...
And that's embracegrowth.com.
That's right. embracegrowth.com, and right on the front page it says, you can watch our TV shows live, click here. And, you know, you just click on that, and it will go to Pars TV on PAMTV.us, and your listeners might want to write down the show times, and I'm going to tell you what they are. The show that I do is called Love Talk, and it is on Tuesdays, Pacific time, from 2 o'clock to 3:30. So 2 o'clock to 3:30 Tuesdays, you can watch Love Talk live. And then Doña Yesh, which is my wife's show, is on Wednesday, and that's from 3:30 to 5 Pacific time on Wednesdays, and from 6:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Friday mornings for those early risers that want to watch a show in Farsi. My show is in English. Her show is in Farsi. Her two shows, Wednesday and Friday shows, are in Farsi. And if all that's a bit confusing and too much information, you can always, again, go to embracegrowth.com, and on the services page, it explains all that and gives you all the times and the dates and the links, so you can just click on it and watch it live.
Excellent.
Can I tell you something I'm really excited about?
Please.
I'm really thrilled about. We have recently put up a page called, it's just called Multimedia. It's on our website called Multimedia. And if you click on that, you can watch little 5-minute movies, 5 to 10 minute movies of Love Talk when Azita and I do it together. We used to do Love Talk together, and we will be doing it together again in the future, but there are 5-minute clips of Love Talk, our TV shows. And we sell the DVDs, so people can watch the DVDs and see if they want to buy them, and then they can watch samples and they can purchase the DVDs. Also, they can listen to the CDs, and they can see photo galleries of our seminars and workshops, and we'll be posting the seminars on that media page as well that are filmed when we go on site and do seminars.
Excellent. That's a wonderful website
you have
there.
Thanks for letting me tell you about that. We just put that media page up last week, and we worked very, very hard on it, and I believe I've never seen anything quite like it. So
I know you told me before you did that it was coming, and when I saw what you had done, it went beyond what I had imagined.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Our website designer, Gabe Lippman, is awesome. He's a genius.
Mm-hmm. Well, and somebody can manifest what you have in your imagination, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's very good. And I'm looking at one particular spot here, one of your quotes, Gregory. Mm-hmm. Focus defines experience. If you are focused on fear, then fearful experiences will be drawn to you. Wherever you focus your energy defines your experience. Energy is always drawn to that which is most like it. You're contracting from fear sends out ripples in the fabric of space and time, attracting into your experience whatever you're unwilling to embrace. Interesting. It's said in a way that's a little bit different, which gets in a different place. You know how you can hear the same phrase over and over and over and over and over again your entire life, and then somebody comes along and says it a different way, and you finally get it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Often do that.
Yeah. One of those. And this is, you know, I love the way you phrase things, because it's just really from your own perspective, which is not mainstream, and that's what's good about it.
Well, now you hear a lot about the law of attraction and like that, since The Secret has come out, and there's so many books and things about the law of attraction, but this was something that I had written a long time ago, several years ago. They say that you teach what you most need to
learn.
Learn,
mm-hmm.
Right?
True.
And I noticed that I had throughout my lifetime drawn fearful experiences to myself, and in a state of deep meditation at one point, I got to a place where I could actually begin to envision or see, if you will, sort of the fabric of space-time and how the slightest thought made ripples in it,
mm-hmm.
like a calling, almost like when you drop if you've ever been fly fishing and you drop something on the surface of the water, the fish kind of come to see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so kind of like that, you put something out and the universe sort of gets attracted to it to kind of check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be drawn to it.
Well, that's interesting. Now, that brings to my mind that the universe has a natural sense of curiosity just like we do.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, exactly. It's almost like a seven-year-old's consciousness, you know? If you say, oh, I'm so stupid, then the universe goes, okay.
At your service.
That's true. It's like as a stupid person.
Yeah, right. And it just shows it back to you, you know? Or you go, oh, I'm tired, or I'm sick and tired. People say things like that sometimes.
Right.
Well, you know what? How would it be, Greg and Azita, how would it be? I mean, Azita, you have a PhD in psychology. Tell me about this. Now, I'm just going to go with stream of consciousness. I love to do that because I trust myself completely. And when spirit's moving through me, I don't hold it back.
Yes.
And I feel like this is that. So I'm going to say it. How would it be if we, each one of us, would see ourselves as the universe, moving through us, as us, for us, in us, all around us, and we are that. And what if we were to imagine for ourselves that there is nothing the universe cannot do that we cannot also do?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be egomaniacal, or would that be getting close to your divinity?
Well,
in your opinion,
I you know, unlike most psychologists, I don't carry labels for people. I hardly have ever diagnosed anybody with anything. So I do believe that the human being, as the Christ said, can do what the Christ can do. You know, and I think that he wasn't the only prophet that said that, or the only great person who said that. And this isn't to promote Christianity, because I'm not Christian. I'm just quoting him as a great man,
got it.
As a great human being.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is really for me about, if you will, the Christ self, or the greatest part of the human being that is capable of walking on water, that is capable of turning water to wine and raising the dead and, you know, doing all sorts of seemingly extraordinary, miraculous actions. I do think that the human being is capable of that, and that is what the great men and women that we hold out as the extraordinary ones have been here to show us, is that this is possible, that this is within the human reach, this is the human potential. And I do believe that we are seeing more and more of those kind of people walk the earth,
mm-hmm.
because we are embracing more and more of the human potential.
Because there's a collective consciousness that's opening up to it.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
Exactly, and that we are allowing ourselves to seek that and no longer, you know, give that responsibility to a certain few who can only dictate to us what is the limits of our capability, and be afraid that it would be blasphemy or hypocrisy, or as you said, egomaniacal, to think that the human being can accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
I just learned
that Buddha also walked on water and did the fishes and loaves and turned water to wine, just like Jesus did. And there's a theory that in the last 30 years of Jesus' life that he did go and spend time with Buddha.
Yes.
And that they have very, very similar philosophies, just different ways, different styles.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see that comparison and that parallel very, very much. And I do believe that any one of us, if we believed it enough to the extent that we were absolutely, completely washed and bathed in faith and knowing could walk on water, and I believe that what stops us is knowing what happened to the one that did. And a lot of times fear does stop us from being our true nature and getting back to our divinity. And it's very difficult in a largely insane world. And, you know, just look at the history books to see that it has been. But it doesn't have to continue that way. Every single thing that's happened, I believe, through history, through every personal experience of every person on the planet right up to this moment, has been a gift for them to grow from and a gift for the world to grow from. And, you know, our current presidency was put in place so that it would wake us all up and make us more responsible for what's happening in our world and take action instead of just be resigned and complacent. So our power is so great and so vast that it is of the universe itself, and that's basically what I was getting at when I asked the question previously. And I love your answer that you do not put labels on people and you have rarely ever diagnosed anyone, because you are the guide. And as the guide and the intuitive and the healer, you're not there to judge. You're there to heal.
Yeah, and I'm also not there to call people sick and abnormal or look at them for what's wrong with them. I rarely have ever looked for what's wrong with people. In fact, I wouldn't know what's wrong with them. I basically look at what's not working for them in their life and, you know, how could it best work to empower them, and what do we need to take out of the way? What's the obstacle to them experiencing, you know, full self-expression and freedom and happiness and joy, and, you know, then remove the obstacles, you know, or help them remove the obstacles, rather, really is more accurate. And
mm-hmm.
once that happens, people are fully capable of managing their own lives.
Yes.
You know, and that's really where I stand. I don't advocate medication. In fact, I stand strongly against medication.
Yes.
For children as well as adults. Now we're beginning to medicate our children earlier and earlier. And so, you know, without standing on a, you know, soapbox, I just asked the question and I could talk about it for hours.
I completely concur. I do. So very, very nicely said. Thank you for answering my question.
Sure.
I was just listening to you speak, and some questions I had earlier today for myself were answered. So I just love synchronicity. I believe synchronicity is divinity showing off. And I know that anyone who's listening to the show tonight will get many, many answers to questions they didn't even know they had yet, because I believe that we're all called forth to get the messages that we get for unknown reasons. And that's what this show is doing and striving to do, is to ignite consciousness in the world and use Hollywood to do that. And speaking of entertainment industry, Gregory, this dance career that you had, I'm so surprised by that. I had no idea. Not that you don't look like you could have done it, because you do, but tell me, what was some of these tours that you were part of? What were they?
That was just a very miraculous period in my life. You know, up until the time I was 21 years old, or about 19 years old, I had never even seen or heard of dance. I mean, I just, you know, other than whatever you saw on TV, like Lawrence Welk or something, you know what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
I never saw a classical dance company in a theater. And I happened to see that at about age 20, and I was just blown away. I was blown away. I couldn't believe that there was such a discipline and that people could do those things with their bodies, and I was just amazed by it. And at the time, I was a carpenter and believe it or not, a country and western guitar player. And I sang in country and western bars, and you know, and I was a carpenter.
Mm.
And I flew to New York City and became a modern dancer. I danced with the Nicolai Dance Theater and with the Murray Lewis Dance Company. And we did about 200 shows a year. We toured all over the world and I've performed at the Kennedy Center and at the Teatro del Presidente in Buenos Aires, and in Istanbul and all over the place, Tunisia, France.
Example, Greg, of what you think about, you bring about. Because literally, you just thought about it and you did it.
Yep.
I saw that and I was so thrilled about it. I said, I must do this. This called me so passionately and so strongly. And I didn't start dancing until I was 21 years old, and most people start when they're children. By the time I was 23 years old, 2.5 years later, I was opening on Broadway to a sold-out theater. From being a dance student to being in the second most popular country in the world, popularity being judged by number of bookings per year. Touring all over the world doing those dances with those dance companies. I had learned 20 ballets in 2.5 months.
Wow. And did you enjoy
that?
So
it kind of shows you what you can do if you're passionate about something. There's no limit.
Oh, passion is the key to everything, especially relationships.
It doesn't hurt to be young and healthy, too.
Well, that's good, too, but it's all a state of mind. Age is a number.
Yeah.
It's
just be healthy.
It's intention that gives you the results, though. I mean, you can have passion without intention. Intention, I think, is what gives you the direction to stay focused with your passion. You definitely, Gregory, had an intention, which was to become a great dancer. It wasn't like you just wanted to dance in the streets of New York. You were really intentional about dancing with the best of the best.
I wanted to dance with that company.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
nothing got in your way.
Yeah, I just did.
Wonderful.
I went to the school and I told them I'm going to be dancing in your company. And they said, yeah, they all say that, kid. And I said, no, you watch.
Yep.
Yeah, he's very much like that. He's very much like that as a man also. I mean, how many times did you propose?
The first version of our wedding invitation said 3 proposals, 2 rings, 2 rings and a wedding.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cute. So you proposed 3 times and gave her 2 rings and then got married.
And finally, she kept one of them, and we got married.
That's great.
Right.
That's very romantic.
Well, it was.
That's wonderful. No, I'm reminded when you speak about how you became a dancer, Gregory, I wanted to, believe it or not, wanted to become a world title arm wrestler because I happened to be good at it, and I achieved it.
Wow.
It wasn't easy. Because of my size, but I still did it, and I set my mind to it because I was raised on a farm, and I got very, very strong from doing the work on the farm, manual labor, from age 9 to 16.
Yeah.
And I worked very, very hard, and I was stronger than my brother. I was stronger than my stepdad. I was stronger than anyone I knew. So a friend of mine entered me in a contest, and I always had wanted to do it because I'd seen it on TV, and anyone I'd ever arm wrestle from age 11 on up, including grown-ups, I won. And it's not anything I can boast about. It's a phenomenon.
I think that is phenomenal. That's awesome. it's funny because I used to be very, very good at that myself. And I don't know, I've never arm wrestled anybody for years and years. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, wow, I bet you Kate can beat me.
Well, it was really, really, really a lot of fun because, you know, when I was acting, it was the first thing on my resume under special skills, and I never got hit on, not one time. Not one time. And it serves me well. You know, I never challenged anybody, but I didn't back down either. And that's the way I am with talent management. I don't back down from a deal.
But I think there's something about this arm wrestling deal because you've pointed out something here. Because I think if you really look, it has more to do with will than muscle, doesn't it?
It does. It's what's between my ears that did it.
Yeah, it has to do with, there's a willpower thing in arm wrestling because I've beat people with bigger, stronger muscles than me a number of times because my will was stronger than theirs, arm.
Yeah, I've never had a broken bone, and I weighed, when I was arm wrestling, 121 pounds.
Yeah.
I arm wrestled some school buses with lipstick, let me tell you. And not to be disrespectful, but I couldn't tell if they were men or women. And they brought people to slap their face and spit on them and call them names to get them angry. And then when they would see I was their opponent with my hair down to my waist and pigtails, dressed like a cheerleader, they would laugh. And they underestimated me. And that's the thing that I love the most. When I get underestimated, that's when I can win. And I love it. I don't need to be underestimated to win, but I just love it when it happens because everybody loves an underdog.
Right. That's so great.
Yeah, and it was really fun. So I share that kind of intentional creating, co-creating, and I know that there isn't anything that any person can have, do, or be. It is all possible. It is all possible. And your relationship with each other, Greg and Azita, is so inspiring. And just whatever's there for you, if you could just talk about that a little bit more, because that's one of the things I was most excited to have you on the show about, is because a lot of people out there, they don't know how to have a conscious spiritual relationship or just a conscious one. What would you recommend if you could both just speak about that until you feel like you've said what's there for you?
Greg, do you want me to go first?
Go ahead. Yes, please.
Yeah. You know, Kate, thank you so much for this opportunity, and it really is for us a privilege. For me, you know, I come from a very different background, obviously, if your listeners haven't. One of the things that's not in my bio is that I was born and raised in Iran, and I was born and raised in Iran as a Jewish person and female, and so that didn't quite go along with also wanting to become a professional and having my own life. And all of those things came at a price, because it had to all be fought for. And so then coming to the United States, I had to now take on a whole other culture and way of and assimilate that in. And then when I met Gregory, you know, Gregory comes from Oklahoma. You know, my whole thing was about higher education. Gregory was all about teaching himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes from a fundamental, almost Christian background, mm-hmm. even though he never went in that direction. But we had, the reason I point out to all of this, and he had been married before, I'd never been married, so yeah. We had many differences. And so what was really interesting for us was, how do you manage amongst all of those which are so different to create something that works? And what we saw was that if we're able to communicate, if we're able to have respect for each other's differences and actually embrace, which is why the name of our company is Embrace Growth, and embrace those differences and grow from them. In other words, instead of trying to make the person like you, be so inviting, be somebody who has so much joy in themselves and who they are and what they're up to, that the other person actually wants to take on where you're at and what you're doing, that they're actually enrolled in that,
mm-hmm.
and inspired by that,
mm-hmm.
Rather than, because a lot of times we get into a relationship initially attracted to the other person being different from us, and then we want to change them because it becomes threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes it does for us as well. You know, some of where I come from is really scary for Gregory, and some of where he comes from is very frightening and new and different for me, and places where, you know, I don't want to go. And so it's about really being willing to see that someone else has come into my life to show me something that I wouldn't have ever come across if it weren't for this person guiding me. And I think if I were to put my finger on one thing that says that's why we're making it, would be that. And the other thing is we're both really committed to making a difference in the world. I love Gregory. I think that I love him. I respect him. I'm committed to his future for himself, not trying to make it, you know, be about what I want. And then I think the other thing that it has to do with is that I have a lot of very wise women in my life, that if it weren't for them, and Gregory has a lot of very wise men in his life, and it is our relationship to the women in our lives and to the men in our lives that I think is the other secret of what has it work. Because whenever I'm confronted by something, in my relationship, if I don't have the wise women to go to who kind of go, okay, you know, they dust me off, they set me back on track, I don't think for me that I'd be able to make it through this, what Gregory called treacherous land of adventure in our relationship. So those are the things for me, you know, to, you know, as authentically as I can express it.
That's very well said. Very well said. Very beautiful. Now, Gregory, what would you have to say for what you would share with our listeners about a conscious relationship and what that was like for you to enter into one and to be enjoying this journey you're on with Azita? How can people who don't know what to do with where they're at right now have a breakthrough by whatever's there for you, whatever you feel like saying?
Yeah, I believe that one of the things that is key in our relationship and in any relationship that I've ever seen when I'm with any of our clients is that in every relationship, just like in every element of the universe, we live in a polarity universe. We live in a it is a universe, meaning all one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not called a diverse, right? It's called a universe, meaning all one thing. But if you look at the symbol of yin and yang,
mm-hmm.
there's the masculine symbol has the feminine at its core, and the feminine symbol has the masculine at its core.
Mm-hmm.
So inside of every man and every woman, there is its polar opposite. And there has been a tendency in the last 30 or 40 years to merge those polar opposites and say, oh, we're all one and we're all equal and we're all the same. And no, we're not. We're not all one and equal and the same. We are equal qualities of really opposite polarities, and I don't know if that's getting too theoretical. I'm going to get it more down to the concrete. There's a masculine, there's a male and a female in each of us, and there is a masculine and feminine energy in every relationship, regardless of whether you're a man or a woman or two women or two men or whatever. There's always a masculine and a feminine energy playing in a relationship, and it's extremely important that those polarities be maintained and not merged, if you will, and diffused. That's where the juice is. That's where the chemistry is. The polarity is what gives you the charge. You know, Azita can be extremely feminine, so feminine that it's just like incredible, and yet she can be extremely masculine. And, you know, look at me. I'm extremely masculine, but I've been a dancer. I'm a poet. I'm a singer and writer, right? I mean, that's very feminine activities.
And you're very self-expressed, and you reveal your emotions, which is also not your standard masculine quality.
Yeah, so there's a very strong feminine side to me,
mm-hmm.
and yet, you know, I'm as masculine as they come, too.
Right.
You know, so I believe that it's important that human beings explore and express both sides of their personality, but then when they are in a relationship with an opposite sex, that they be very careful about maintaining those polarities. So one of the ways that we've learned to do that between Azita and I is I tell her what I think, and I ask that my thinking be respected. And, you know, I don't expect it to be, but I would like for it to be. And when it is, when my thinking is respected, I feel loved. And I'm willing to put my feelings aside and honor her feelings over mine. And to a lot of sort of New Age people, that may sound kind of weird. That may sound kind of like, whoa, what is that? But I believe that men's values, remember the quote that you said earlier that you read from me?
Mm-hmm.
A man's value to the world and to his woman is to be able to stay focused and do what needs to be done in the face of distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that means putting aside your personal feelings. That's what makes men valuable as soldiers and hunters and gatherers, is that they're able to put aside their personal feelings about something and do what needs to be done and get it taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I need to put my feelings aside, my bad feelings, I should say, my negative feelings, my hurt or angry feelings aside, and be able to, so that I'm able to be there for Azita and take care of her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, our feelings will get into a conflict with each other, and we'll have a fight, and we'll be arguing for whose feelings are most important. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So part of my little secret as a man, mm-hmm, is I put my hurt feminine feelings aside from time to time in order to cherish and value my wife's feelings above mine.
That's beautiful.
And when I don't do that, there's trouble.
Yeah. Well, you found a balance with each other.
Yeah, so I choose to be the masculine one, even though I can be very feminine and very just as feeling as she is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she chooses to be the feminine one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as a man and as a business partner, I would be crazy not to take advantage of her strong masculine thinking part as well, right?
Right, right. No.
Yeah, she brings that on, and sometimes, and it's very, very useful. It's like having a partner that can go toe to toe in a very masculine way with just about anybody.
I think you're describing me too, if I may say.
Today's women. That's what's so awesome about them. They can be really, really strong and masculine, mm-hmm, and they can be really, really feminine. And so it's kind of a dance, isn't it?
It's a ballet, a beautiful ballet. When you can find
it's kind of a dance. You can't just come on like Mr. Macho.
No,
they'll knock you off your horse.
No, to put the egos aside and get to who you really are for each other, and to honor that most of all is really a remarkable thing if you're able to do it. And we're coming up on the end of the hour,
yes,
of the show. So what I'd like to close with, first of all, thank you both profusely for taking the time to be on Spiritual Hollywood with us here and to give us
pleasure,
gift of your wisdom collectively and separately. I do appreciate that so much. And I encourage all of the listeners to please go to their website, embracegrowth.com. Have a good time there. And just check out what these two are up to, because they're quite unique. And I've seen a lot of things, being someone who's self-educated as well. I mean, my library is filled with books that I haven't seen in some therapist's offices. And I'm very self-educated. I've read everything I could get my hands on. And finding new people who have something new to say about a topic that's so important and vital is always such a thrill. So, again, thank you. And I'm going to close with reading something else that Gregory wrote called Romantic Love is an Art. Like fine cooking or architecture, you're not expected to be a good cook without learning to make a fire and prepare the food. You're not expected to build a beautiful home that withstands the test of time without understanding the materials or studying the blueprints. Yet all too often, young women assume the responsibilities of adults to build a future for their children without any preparation. And believe me, it is not any better for the men. If there is even a little bit of authentic love, it is worth fighting for. There's a difference between love and need, and when you are desperate, they both look the same. In the darkness, you can really see the difference between red and blue. In the darkness, can you really see the difference between red and blue? Love is not the absence of pain, but pain is the absence of love. The absence of love is the inability to know who you really are. And then down below that it says, a man without a purpose is disconnected from his soul. He is like a ship at sea tossed without a sail. When a man lives his purpose, his mind is deep and clear. He is fully present and passionate, and his heart is free of fear. He is a spiritual warrior and does not accept ambiguity. A man like this wants everything or nothing. Most men aren't equipped to deal with opening to love through sexual and emotional intimacy while competing for success in the world. This requires balance, skill, and discipline. It is not something that he is necessarily inclined to do or even be interested in. Manage the relationship, not the man. Awesome. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you again for being on the show. It was such a delight, and I'm sure that we will be in touch. and we'll be speaking with you soon. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Don Newsom at BBS Radio, for this awesome platform of Spiritual Hollywood. I'm Kate Romero, your host. My website is www.guardianangelmanagement.com, all spelled out, no spaces, in case you want to check in and see what I'm up to with all those different hats I'm wearing. Thanks again, everybody, and be good to each other. Bye-bye.
Kate, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.